The Why Golf podcast is brought to you by Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack. Search billions of prices on flights, hotels, and cars with one simple search, feeling confident you'll always find an amazing deal. Hello and welcome to Why Golf, brought to you by Skyscanner. I'm Di Stewart and this is the final episode of the series. Thank you to everybody who supported so far. We've interviewed the likes of Kate Rose, Anthony Watson, Matt Wallace, Rick Shields, and all these episodes are available further up the feed. Now, today we're going to be chatting to a golf personality, a content creator, and a podcaster herself. It is Tisha Allin. We chatted to her at the last Solheim Cup, and she's been incredibly busy since then. Let's find out exactly what she's been up to. Oh, Tisha, really good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to see you. It's only been a year or so, something of that.
We saw each other at the Solheim Cup. I know. And I know recently you've been at the Ryder Cup. Tell us a little bit about that experience. What was it like?
Oh, my goodness. The Ryder Cup, it was actually my first ever Ryder Cup. Have you gone? Have you gone to the one on your side of the pond?
Oh, I was at Marco Simone, on the first tee for many hours.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, it was insane. We all heard about how the Ryder Cup went, especially being in New York. And it being my first time, I didn't know what to expect. I knew that there was going to be, a lot of heckling, and there was going to be a ton of red, white, and blue, which is amazing on the American side.
But
yes, it was very, very, it was intense. It was huge crowds following only, four or five groups in the grand scheme of things. So you just watch this huge herd of people. And then out of nowhere, you're like, oh, I guess hole one is done for the day and no one will ever be there again. And then no one's literally just 250,000 people following this really, really, condensed group of people. And it was rowdier than I anticipated, I will say. Mm. And a lot of what was kind of said is very true. I was very much a witness to a lot of the behavior, which I think was very, it just took me back because as a golf fan and a golf lover my entire life, but someone who likes to push the boundaries, but also I still pay tribute to the traditional factors of golf, it was a really interesting place to be because it was giving a little bit of waste management. And that was just not what I was prepared for. But the overall competition, seeing the comeback, thank goodness we tried. We at least put up a good fight there.
We were worried.
But it made for a good story on the final day.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so much press over here and chat about the crowds in New York and those boundaries just crossing the line on quite a few occasions.
Yeah.
But it also seemed, it ignited the European players. But it's really fascinating to hear your insight actually being there as an American fan, and you're saying that line was crossed.
Yeah, it was crossed in my opinion. Heckling is one thing. I understand that there's other sports that it's very much first nature. It's loud and crass things are said, but in golf there is always a fine line between what is yelled and when it's yelled. I don't think it's ever acceptable to yell in the middle of a swing. I don't think it's acceptable to talk on behalf of not just the player but the player's family and their weight or what have you. There were a lot of things that I saw, whether it was in person or outside of it, that I was like, wow, this, the fans just took it a whole different level. But what I will say is the one thing I really enjoyed was the European chants. I have always known that you guys have amazing chants, but what do you guys congregate and then practice? What?
I have a friend, Bob Easton, I'm going to say his name, and they plan, he's part of the European singing group, and they plan for months these songs. So a lot of effort goes into it, but I'm really, really pleased that you enjoyed it and the whole atmosphere.
Yes.
What is it about these events that capture the imagination of the golfing public and general public?
I mean, I think it's just, I think what's so fun about these specific events is really being able to root for your country. I think it really unites the players in a different way, and it brings out a different personality in them, which is what we all love. It's a very different format for both Solheim and Ryder. And I, for anyone who hasn't ever played in an alternate shot format or a team format, it's a different kind of hard. It's very hard. You have to know your player's game. You have to know where to set them up. You have to be accepting that it is not all on you, and sometimes it will be your fault, and sometimes it will be their fault. And how will you treat your partner? Will you pick them up or will you not? And I think that's what's so fun about these events, is seeing this individual sport come together, seeing our countries root for their given countries and the passion that comes with it. And there's a lot of fun and a lot of fun banter too. Like, I do enjoy when the crowd brings in a different energy and brings in like a fierceness from the players, especially for the Solheim Cup. You know, getting the personality out of the girls, I think it takes a little more. And at the Solheim, it's like, you see Nelly jumping and happy and partying, and you see Charlie killing it. And so that there's, I think it's just such a great atmosphere.
You're absolutely right. It brings something else out of the players, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That sort of arena, which we really want to see. Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's been a brilliant few weeks, and the Ryder Cup has topped it off recently. But your year, tell us how busy you've been. I'm following you on Instagram. It looks exhausting and amazing at the same time.
I could say the same for you as well. You're traveling just as much.
I know, I'm ready to lie down.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's been an incredible year. I mean, it's so funny how much really things change in 1 year. Since we've last seen each other, I've continued to travel the world for many gigs, from Asia and Singapore back to, I was in Europe for a hot second as well for the Open, and back in the US, and it's been so much fun. But more recently, I did launch a women's golf apparel brand, and that has really just taken a storm.
Amazing.
And it's a different kind of hard, but it's so exhilarating at the same time. I always tell everyone that, you know, these gigs that I get to do, I'm so grateful for being able to go to these immaculate courses and talk about the sport I love and showcase it on social media or interview about it and what have you. But I don't know that I feel any more fulfilling of a feeling than when I see someone in the wild wearing my apparel. Like, it's a very, very different feeling. When I was at the Ryder Cup, I saw a couple women wearing my Team USA inspired crew neck, and I just lost it. It was amazing. And so,
did you go over to them?
Yes. Oh yeah, I ran. Yeah. I ran to the. I came up to her face. I was like, "Oh my god!" Oh, and she was like, "Holy crap, it's you!" I'm like, "Holy crap, you're wearing my sweater!" It was like we're just as shook. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. I too also have a podcast, and we wrapped up season one on iHeartRadio, and we highlighted women in golf who are adjacent to golf, who just got into golf, who are big into golf, and that was also a very different experience. I'm no stranger to trying new things. And so it's been a year of really doing a lot of new things, which has been fun.
My intro was right. You're one of the busiest ladies in golf. Tell us, we'll start with the clothing
yes,
brand and just
yes,
dig into that a little bit more.
Absolutely.
It's called All In Golf, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right.
I have to say, Tisha, that I do genuinely struggle with golf trousers, or you would call them pants. Yeah.
I gotta get you some.
Please. Yeah, I'm available to wear them.
I got you.
Any time of year.
Okay.
I want to feel, and I'm sure your golf brand incorporates it, comfortable.
Yes.
Pretty. I want to feel trendy as well on the golf
yeah,
course.
Yes.
But being able to move dynamically, but also I don't want the clothing too tight either. So are these all the considerations that you were, you know, thinking about when you designed your golf clothes?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, even when I last saw you, this was something that was already in planning, and I was just under wraps until literally last May. I came out with it, and I didn't tell a soul that I was going to do it. And I think that's what really took
it. It's a brave move. I mean, we've seen other professional golfers bringing out golf brands.
Yes.
And they've actually lost a lot of money doing it.
Yes. Yeah. It's not for the weak. That is for sure. It is for absolute sure.
You're strong lady.
Yes. Yes. And I definitely have been bootstrapping everything, which has been a trial in itself, but like I said, the most fulfilling. So we launched in the end of May, and it's only been 3 or 4 months. And the amount of things that we've been able to accomplish in just a short amount of time has been just incredible. Like, literally brings me to tears. And the whole reason why I even wanted to create a women's golf apparel brand was for all the reasons that's probably what people can assume, is that I've been in the golf world for a very long time. I've played at a professional level. I relate to a beginner level as well, trying to bring women into the community. But really, like, the truth is that, you know, I had a very amazing long-term partnership end. I was with Cobra Puma for 7 years of my career. And soon thereafter, as I was about to partner up with another brand who said, let's create you a line, they then said, but we would own your name. And I said, that's not going to happen. I didn't work all these years for my name for it to just be taken under an entity. And from there, it really sparked the interest in wanting to dive in into, okay, well, how do I even go about this if I wanted to explore it? Well, what do I do about materials? Where do I get imported stuff for? Who do I go to? Where do I begin? And I really honestly learned as I went. And that was kind of the craziest thing. I learned about MLQs. I learned about finding a tech designer. I learned about building a team. I learned about being a CEO. I learned about different cuts and sews and all the lingo when it came to it. And if someone told me all the struggles that I was going to face prior to launching, I could not have done it. And I think it was really just like the tenacity mixed with naiveness that has honestly gotten me this far. Just like, oh, today's a different kind of hard. Let's just try and solve it. Like,
it's huge. But tell it, the clothing brand, is it a traditional golf brand, or is it, are you mixing modern elements with traditional elements?
Yes, absolutely. We are definitely mixing in modern elements. We really are focusing, like, when we really do say on and off the course, we really do mean it. When I created every single piece, so we're a small collection, but and we're growing every single drop. We actually launched the next drop coincidentally tomorrow. And I was intentional about creating pieces that you can wear in multiple places, because the one thing that I feel like I can accomplish, or I can at least share, is the different problems and issues that we face in women's golf apparel. And if I can attack each issue one by one, or at least attempt to attack it, then I think people will see the intention, plus the storytelling, which I know I love to do. I love the storytelling. I love the social media part of it. That paired with actual problem solving is, one, profitable, but two, actually going to make a difference. And so, just like as you mentioned, just trousers. Why can't we have trousers that are comfortable and in athletic material, where if you're from the office and maybe you're working 9 to 5, you want to go hit some balls quickly after, but you don't have a moment to stop by home, you're maybe stuck 100%. In traffic. We got you. You can wear these same trousers and maybe wear our Spade Essential crop, and you can literally look business, but you can be ready to, if you are going to sweat, you're ready to go. If you need mobility, you're ready to go. You want a dress that can go from pickleball to golf to tennis, we got it covered. We have padding in our tops as well, because why is there no breast support in any tops? I don't know. I don't know why. I feel like that's a very easy solve. Yeah. And just creating pieces where they're genuine colors that you can actually see yourself in, both on and off the golf course. Like, the one thing when I was looking at creating All In, and I was looking at my closet, and every single athlete, but mostly every single golfer, can say, I have a golf closet, and then I have my everything else closet.
I'll show you my golf closet upstairs.
Yes, and it'll probably take up an entire room.
Oh, and it's huge. Yeah.
Yes, and it's like, for the golfers that love to golf, but maybe don't have all the time to golf, or maybe they're not maybe country club, you know, members of that sort where they can go every single day, what kind of pieces can they invest in where they can see themselves wearing it for multiple reasons? How can we shrink this closet so that you're not somehow taking up another room? Like, how can we maybe combine your golf clothes and workout clothes, or combine some of your work clothes with golf clothes? Like, let's make that happen. So that was one of the many problems that I was trying to solve. Adjustability, the length, the tee holders, everything has come with so much intention, down to why I choose a color. And if people just understood what that took, I would hope that they'd fall more in love with the brand, because I can promise you that I've put way more thought than a lot of these other brands when it comes to women's golf apparel.
That's awesome. And what is your favorite color to wear on the golf course, or
it's
part of your brand?
Yes. Well, we have only launched one, well, technically two colorways, which was terracotta and bone. And the next colorway is actually going to be mauve, like the shade of pink. So I'm wearing the shade of pink right now. It actually, mauve is a shade of pink that actually has like a touch of brown in it. It's a very neutral color in some sense. And I love wearing neutral colors on the course, but you don't often see that. You see highlighters, you see bright yellow, bright
neon,
pink,
yeah, bright,
neon.
Yes.
And I'm like, I would never wear that in public. I would never go.
Because I seem to be wearing it on the golf course.
Yes, exactly. And so I was like, I want to feel posh and elegant yet athletic on the golf course, just as I know I feel when I'm going on like business trips. Like I want to feel that same way. And so how can we combine both, and how can we appeal to those that maybe identify more athletic wear versus more like business wear? And like, let's try and tackle both ends and still be all in on women's golf. And so very much trying to bring it back in. But I love wearing neutrals. You'll see a lot of neutral colors. And then, of course, we will hit the green. Green is such a popular color in golf, so we have to touch green at some point. And we have to touch navy at some point. Those are like the most used colors in golf. But to me, I was like, I need to launch with colors that make my brand identifiable to us before we can go into the colors that we know every brand carries.
Mm. That's great. I'm really impressed with what you're doing. And also, you mentioned a podcast as well. I know you host a podcast. Tell us about the name and what you're doing with
it. Yes. So we just wrapped up season one, and my podcast name is Welcome to the Party, PAR-T.
Have
to have the pun in it.
Very good.
And we've
Clever.
Had some...
Did you come up with that?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I did. Yes, I did. And we've had some incredible guests, from Angel Yin to Jane Park, who I'm not sure if you recall Jane Park, but she had to walk away from the tour because her daughter was diagnosed with a very life-changing event, and it took her away from the LPGA tour. We've spoken to people like Angie Martinez, who was the voice of New York. We've talked to basically everyone far in between, golf comedians, all females that just love golf in different ways and show up. And I think it's been so incredible, because just as you do, it's like you get to talk to people is one thing, but I think what's so fun about podcasting is that you get to just have a conversation and you get to just like learn about them. And to me, it was like, I just want to make a platform for other people to speak, whether they're early in their golf career or they've been in it for ages. Like, let's just talk about golf in whatever capacity that their golf journey is. And that's been a lot of fun. Very different, but a lot of fun.
Oh, no, it's great. That's exactly why we do what we're doing with Why Golf, just to, you know, find out about people's stories and what drives them and why they love this greatest game on the planet, which is golf. Now, you were a professional, Tisha, which we all know. You transitioned to being a content creator. Can you tell us about that part of it? How many years ago was it now that you became a content creator?
It's been a while since I played pro now. So in 2016 or 2015, technically, that's when I turned pro. And then soon, like right around that time, that's when social media started to become popular. Mm. And simultaneously, when I was turning pro, I figured, well, I might as well just document my career. Maybe someone will see it. I was very intentional about, I'm going to just post on this thing called Instagram in hopes that if someone sees my scores or if someone sees my swing or if someone likes my style, maybe I'll be sponsored. And that was really my only, that was my intent. Like, I was hoping to get eyes beyond my country club, beyond my circle of people, in hopes to find better means to be able to take care of my golf career. So at the same time I played pro, social media was already playing a part. And then 2018, which is, oh my gosh, how many years that ago? Is it like 7 years now?
Seven, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow. But yes, I mean, I went full time in the creating and the hosting and all that stuff in 2018. And at that point, I think I was at like Evian Championship. I'm walking the fairways with like Lydia Ko and Danielle Kang and Anna Nordqvist. And I remember asking myself, like, can I beat them? Probably not. Could I hit those shots? I could hit those shots. But, you know, do I have that grind anymore that I see in their eyes when they play and when they perform well or when they don't perform well? No, I don't think I love it like that anymore. And it was actually in that moment that I was like, no, I think I can make, honestly, a better impact, a bigger impact in golf through social media, whatever that means. There was no influencer. We didn't have a term for it yet. It was like, are you on IG? Are you a golf babe? And I was like, okay, let's not, don't call me a golf babe now, but like, no. Yeah. And then it clearly evolved. And so it's been one of the biggest leaps that I've ever taken in my career, but one that I'm so grateful for, because I wouldn't have what I have or the platform that I have now if I didn't jump into it at the timing that I did, because so many girls and people try to do it now. And it's a very, very oversaturated, difficult space to try and jump into now. I'm just lucky that I had time on my side.
Well, you're lucky, but you create your own luck as well. And I know one of you, absolutely. You work so incredibly hard with what you do, with all your various different sort of avenues of work and entertaining. Mm-hmm. A couple of videos went really viral, didn't they? I mean, one of your first ones did.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's been a few, but most of the ones that have went viral have all been trick shot related. And so a lot of the trick shots.
We want to see skill, Tisha. Yes. Which we do from you. We love it.
I mean, happy to. I mean, as I get older, it does become a little harder. I will say throwing a ball in the air and missing is not fun. It does feel like you beat yourself up, but yeah, that was kind of how I first started to blow up, between trick shots and dancing, because I come from a dancing background. I would dance on the golf course, or I would do trick shots on the golf course. And that was kind of where it became, golf really became entertainment while scrolling, which was very unique. At first, golf wasn't really like, okay, it may pop up on someone's For You page who isn't a golfer, and they may look at you maybe because you're pretty or maybe because you have an aesthetic swing. But when different variables between golf skits and trick shots and then the dancing and everything else came into the picture, there became a new form of entertainment. It was golf entertainment, really. And that's really what kind of blew me up. I remember thinking, when I would bounce a ball on the camera and do all that stuff, I honestly thought that all my peers could do it. I really thought that I was like, why aren't you guys doing this too? Like, we all know how to do this. And then when I was playing pro, my friends were like, no, we don't freaking know how to do this. So yeah, like, no, we don't do that. I'm like, oh, I just thought we all did this on our free time. I guess it was just me. And then the dancing, that was something I was very, very timid to do, because I come from a hip hop background and golf is very traditional. And I thought, wow, the very, 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 very opposing things. And when a few dancing trends kind of came to be before the TikTok days, my little sis, she encouraged me to try and do this trend while I was literally training. And she like paused my practice and said, just do this, like you already know it. And I did it. And I remember like tossing my phone, being so embarrassed. And I said, I don't want to even look at what people will say. I'm going to delete it tomorrow. I opened my phone and it had like 300 or 500,000 views at that time. That viral, we didn't even know what viral meant yet. And I just shot up in followers and I thought, oh my goodness, this is insane. Like, people actually enjoy these two things that I've combined, and I'm not judged by it. Like, that's pretty cool. And so then that's kind of how the platform just continued to be, showing my professional golf career. I was very transparent about my highs and lows, and then all the fun stuff in between. And that still holds true to today, even though pro golf isn't really it anymore. I just show everything. And it seems to, one avenue will resonate with someone. And that's what I love. I'm very open about sharing different pieces of me.
This episode of Why Golf is brought to you by Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack. I use it to plan trips while saving loads of time and money. Honestly, it's a bit like getting a great swing tip and suddenly everything just clicks. Sometimes I've got a destination in mind. Other times I just want to dream where I'll golf next with their Explore Everywhere tool. Either way, Skyscanner gives me the lay of the land very quickly. Instead of juggling 25 tabs, incognito mode, and bouncing around a dozen sites for weeks, Skyscanner searches billions of sites all in one place. Flights, hotels, car hire, with one simple search. No tricks, no hidden fees. It's my go-to travel tool that helps me plan, book, and save like a travel pro. So whether you're flying to a course you've always wanted to play, or looking to escape for a weekend and save big, download Skyscanner, the ultimate travel hack today.
Do you know dancing? You tell me more, because you've danced since a very, very young age. I find it's a release of a lot of tension.
Yes,
it really helps clear a lot of kind of stuck energy in the body. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. Honestly, like, you know, as you get older and as like, for myself, I can speak for myself, as my career has developed, it's no stranger where stress comes from. You just grow to find more responsibilities in your life. And this career has gotten me to a place where it's like, okay, now I have a home. Now I have a family. Now I have little, I have a pup and I have a cat that I just saved. I got things to care for. And when stress really arises, I often actually forget that I used to dance. And it's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing. Like, and then when music comes on, I suddenly remember, and then all the stresses that I could possibly have literally just disappear. Yeah. And it's something that I actually have to talk through with like my therapist, of reminding myself that when times are tough, or maybe things aren't going my way, or maybe my mindset just isn't in the right place, like dancing is honestly one of the best. Doesn't matter if you're good or not. It's one of the best ways to release whatever mindset that you're in. It automatically brings a smile to your face and brings like positive feelings. Positive vibes. Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're a bad dancer. It doesn't matter.
No, and no one needs to know you're doing it.
Your tissue. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I know. Sometimes I'll just hear a song on the radio and think, I'll just have a moment to myself. Yeah. And pretend I'm 21 again.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's useful.
It's a really great form of play. And I think one thing as like adults, you forget to play. And I think that like I encourage everyone that when I see that they've been lost in their ways, I always encourage them to play. And if dancing isn't for you, then so be it.
Yeah. But we'll become too serious as we get older, don't we?
We do.
We lose that playfulness.
It's a
brilliant message. It's such a great message. But we kind of know it, but we forget it, don't we? Because we've all got too many responsibilities and too much to do.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a podcast and you've got a clothing brand now. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you've got to go filming, and then you've got to be at an event evening.
Yeah.
Do you ever think when you're at all these events, oh, I just need a day off because I'm really tired. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so often. Mm. And what I will say that what has been the most challenging thing in my career so far is, since creating a clothing brand, although we are very small but mighty, it is a very different experience when you're responsible for a team. It's a very different experience when people are looking to you for the answer. And when I have to go be Tisha Allen to be able to afford the brand for where it is now, and the days where I want to relax and rest and just be with my people or my family or my animals or what have you, I have to remember that, like, oh, you're the CEO, you're the founder, you need to wake up, you need to do this. And I think that part is really like the most challenging part of the balance of it all. And that's where I think like that seriousness kind of comes back in. But then you realize that you do it because you love it. And then you see a little win. And even though there's a lot of fires you're putting out, you see that little win, and it makes it all worth it. But I can really use a vacation. Yes, I can. I really can.
I see. Yeah. Sometimes I don't have the ability to hold a conversation after work. It's like,
yes,
you've got to come home and then have normal conversations with the ones you love, and you're like, oh, I don't really want to speak right now. Can we just sit in silence?
Yes. exactly that. Oh,
and the little wins are when you're at the Ryder Cup and you see your clothing on ladies who are in the crowds. That's so great.
Yes. Oh my gosh, can I just share quickly? So a little win that just happened actually right before I came on. Are you familiar with who Shonda Rhimes is?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Shonda Rhimes.
So Shonda Rhimes just had a Golf Digest article come out, and she's wearing Allen.
This is a moment. I may dance.
I will likely do this. I will do the
just
same.
Yeah.
And it's just such a win. It's such a win. And you know, it's a funny place to be when you're a talent yourself, but you're chasing after stars, right? And when you see it happen, it makes me feel like a little girl, like, oh my gosh, like, look
amazing.
Who's wearing it, you
know? Just keep working hard. It's what you know, it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And tell us a little bit, just thinking of something else that you're involved in, the Creator Classic.
Oh, wow.
Tell us about the Creator Classic. When does that happen?
Oh my goodness, we've had two already this year. No, sorry, there's been three. I participated in two, and that's it for the year. And essentially, for those that don't know, the Creator Classic is a creator-led event that is hosted by the PGA Tour and Scratch, I believe, or Pro Shop. And it's become like this huge just event now where honestly, it really does feel like just as many people come to like the Thursday of a tournament, they're there for the Wednesday to watch us. And I thought I retired, and now I'm having to practice.
No, you don't. No, yes.
And I guess I'm tactically pro again in a different way because we're still playing for money. And it's a very fun but unique and interesting experience because, yes, I've come out of retirement, and no, I don't have time to train. Like, you should have seen the way I tried to prepare for this last classic because, you know, when the Golf Channel is filming you and you have millions of people watching you and then you have YouTube watching you, you can't look like a fool now.
No.
That's my mindset.
It's highly stressful.
It's highly stressful. And I think I was actually able to come into the second Creator Classic with a lot more fun and a lot more release, and because I had done it once before. But it's honestly a very high pressure situation because it's formatted in such a way where we are literally broadcasted as if we're pros.
Yeah.
Like when I watch the playbacks and I hear Shane Bacon on the mic calling out my shot, and I'm like, thank God I hit the green. Like, thank God I made that putt. Like, yeah. What? It's a very funny place that for the 7, 8, 9 years that I've been doing the content creation, I was in a place of having to convince people why being a creator, influencer, personality is important, or why we're of value, or why we're kind of like a Swiss knife. And now we're in a place where it's like, oh my gosh, like, please stop asking me to play golf. Like, please, please let me do the other, things that I play.
Yeah, that I gave up golf to do all this other, you know, all these other things.
I'm in a very great place now that we are being recognized. And YouTube golf, which I'm not actually a really huge YouTube golfer, but I very much understand and see the value. But seeing the way that YouTube golf has really influenced the golf space, the golf market space, the golf media space, like, good literally has Golf Channel airing their events. Like, that's insane at the end of the day.
It's so big, isn't it?
And I'm sure many people may have mixed, you know, reviews on the Creator Classic and the whole creator economy now. But in my opinion, I think it's very positive. And with every high, there will be a low. I know it won't last forever. But right now, while this high is happening, I think we should just enjoy it and maximize the opportunity.
100%. Well, I've got a son who's a teenager. I can't believe he's a teenager now. He just watches content from creators like yourself.
Wow.
And is just wants to pick up tips and, you know, advice.
Yeah.
And that's his go-to. So it's you're growing the game, basically.
Yes.
You are in many, many avenues. And I just wanted to come back actually to the Solheim Cup, because when we first met, it's 2024, and what you saw there and how you think the women's game is growing and what you expect from the 2026 Solheim. Are your hopes high for it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's always very interesting to see how I've never gone to a Solheim or Ryder Cup that was across the pond from me. And I think I would love to see the difference, especially because, you know, in Europe, you guys have all the amazing chants, and I really do love the way your people just come together. I think it's a really beautiful thing. And I can only imagine what that experience is like when you're a player to really feel that all of these people are there for you. On the US side as well, we can work on our chance, but besides that, yes. And I can only foresee something like the Solheim Cup growing even bigger. Women's golf, let alone growing even bigger. I mean, when you think about women's golf from the grassroots level, the percentage of growth since COVID is like astronomical. And right now, like where golf is trending, like when it comes to like the golf market, has the largest room for growth in women's golf, whether it's apparel or, you know, marketing pieces. Women's golf itself, we have the most room for growth and we have the largest growth at the moment. And so I can only imagine what the next Solheim Cup will bring.
Yeah, it's really great to hear. I love the fact that the game is growing like that. And you've been involved for so many years now. Do you see, in terms of diversity within the game, do you see more from different backgrounds playing the game, and also different golf fans now? Are we getting more golf fans from different backgrounds?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Speaking to the diversity, I will say that if you just look at golf in the grand scheme of maybe 5 years, it has changed dramatically. And, you know, talk about someone who, you know, I'm a part of the AAPI community. I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community. I'm also a female in a man's sport. Like, give me every acronym and I probably fall under it. Let's be real. And so I understand. I understand what it's like to not feel the representation. And I understand and I see when the representation is changing. And I can confidently say that it's been growing in a very positive way. There is so much more diversity and there's so many new faces. And especially when it comes to women, just women of very different backgrounds, which is great. Accessibility is a big thing, not just in junior golf, but women's golf. A lot of the pains in golf have come from, oh, I can't afford the sport. Well, there's so many different ways to find means now. And I think it's just, it's incredible. So I really only see it trending upward from here.
Mm, that's really great to hear. And I agree. It is. It's the best game on the planet. I'll say it. I'll say it until I'm old and grey, and I'm already old and I'm going grey. But in terms of also the TGL, which I wanted to mention,
yes.
TGL, because you're a member of the Los Angeles Golf Club, I believe.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
tell us more about that.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm an investor in Los Angeles Golf Club. And if we were not the first team to come to life, I feel like we were actually the first team to come to life. Yeah, I believe so.
Okay,
and
great.
After the first season happened, you know, I think a lot of people were very skeptical, which rightfully so. You know, everyone who has been a golf fanatic and the traditional parts of the game, it is in the traditional parts of the mindset of the game, it is very hard to change people's perception. It is really hard to introduce something new. When something new happens, there's a lot of people fighting, a lot of typically men just fighting. Over why it shouldn't be. And then you have to prove them wrong. That's kind of the pattern. And I think if anything, TGL has really proven people wrong. Is there hiccups? Yes. Mm. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely.
Well, you're just starting something, aren't you? So you've got to learn from mistakes.
You got to learn from mistakes. But guess what? They're expanding with more teams. They're hopefully expanding to including women.
I've heard, yeah.
I don't know if I was like, am I allowed to say that? I don't know.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay. I'm like, oh gosh, no one, I'm not a whistleblower or anything. Anyways, and so because that there is growth, then that means that there is positive change. And that the positive change means that we're increasing and changing the audience in a different way. And for those that may not believe in TGL or may feel like, it's going to just die at any point, like you have to realize that golf in the grand picture is maybe not easy for maybe, let's say, a family of five and maybe someone who has a baby or a pregnant woman or, you know, what have you, location and stuff, or maybe they have a disability and they can't walk very much, what have you. This is a very different way to bring in golf. And whether or not it leads a fan to then play golf, we'll find out, but it exposes golf. And I think that's the most important thing. It exposes the game. So we have things like social media. You have golf adjacent locations like all these indoor golf facilities and Topgolf, right? And then you have something like TGL who's trying to do it on a grand scale. What I love about it is that it makes these professional golfers relatable. And that's one thing that I think as people in the media, we have always struggled to create for our players, is to make them relatable. It's our job to pull these things out of them. Well, TGL is a place where they can actually kind of just be and have fun and be a little less serious. And I think that's what makes it very much something that you want to watch and you want to watch it improve. And so, and of course, I very much root for my team. Like, shout out to LAGC. We have a phenomenal team. I think we have phenomenal branding. I'm all about
Remind
the branding.
Remind us who's in your team?
Oh, yes.
Give us a couple of players. Yeah.
Yes, we have Rosie.
Well, gosh.
And you can't go wrong with Rosie. He is killing it right now.
Absolutely.
He did wonderful. I mean, him and Fleetwood, the dream team from Ryder Cup, we have them. So those are our UK players. We also have Sahith Theegala, and we have Colin Morikawa. And I'm not sure if we're going to be adding more players per se, but for one match last season, we did have a sub in and it was Tony Finau. So we were pretty good at grabbing the favorites, in my opinion.
Brilliant. Yeah, you've done well there. Love that. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I look forward to see what next year, 2026, brings.
Me too.
And hopefully some females involved, hopefully.
That's what I'm most excited for. I have no idea who prospects are for our team or how far away we are from that. But I really do believe that including women into this format, whether it's only women or whether it's women mixing ball with the men, which I really, really want that to be the case. I really do think that that would be such a great way to just bring more character out, really bring in the male and the female audience, the PGA and LPGA tour. Like, what better way than to capitalize on this opportunity? So I don't know what it is yet.
I love that idea. I love that. Yes. I love mixed events. Because you get something different out of people's personalities when you're paired with a female or a male. Fascinating. Your year, as you said, has been really busy. What are the next 12 months? What do they entail?
Oh man, next 12 months, gosh, that's a really
lying
great
down
question.
At some point.
yes, a vacation. I really hope to go to maybe good. Mexico or an island, Hawaii maybe, we'll find out. A vacation, yes, for sure, but I do hope to build new partnerships for me as an individual entity, and have been trying to, like, per se, just like cook in the kitchen and just build new relationships. And I'm very excited for hopefully some partnerships to come. I am manifesting a lot of them. I've been a new partner with Golf Galaxy this year, and I've loved working with them, and they're just such a huge entity here, especially in America. And so I hope to renew that partnership and continue to build and grow with them. Maybe have all in there. I don't know. It would be such a dream.
I like this manifestation.
We have to put it out there. It has to be said. Yes. Much traveling, many more events, and definitely the growth of the women's golf apparel brand. I really do see myself in big stores and big places and billboards and ads. Like I really want to blow this out of the water. I never half-ass anything. And so I really just want to take it by storm.
Oh, Tish, you're completely inspirational. You really are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm available in the UK to wear any all in, you know, golf apparel. So you can speak to my agent. Actually, that's me. Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
There's no middle person.
I'll send you a DM.
there we go. They'll just text me. Listen, it's been amazing to chat to you. Absolutely brilliant. We're going to finish, actually, Tisha, with some clubhouse curveball questions.
Okay.
With all our guests, we'd like to throw them three curveball questions. And here we go. Quick fire. If you could shoot a video with one person you haven't shot with yet, who would it be and why?
Oh man. I would really love to like shoot a video with like Shonda Rhimes. I think now that I'm saying it, I feel like it's very attainable. So
it's literally going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I will send you the link when it happens.
Do. Why in particular?
I mean, just to know that she is such an incredible woman. I don't know if people really realize the accolades and the amount of fight and struggle that she went through to attain everything that she has. And she's so efficient, and she's very actually fierce at the same time. And to be able to become so mainstream in a world of writing, I think is very, very incredible. It's just very strong. And to know that we've already have some little relationship, she is able to wear my apparel. And I think the next goal would be to create some kind of collaboration with her in the golf apparel side, and then to take that and then shoot with her. And that is me manifesting out loud. So that is the hopes.
I need to do more of this manifesting.
Yes, just say it out loud.
Yeah. I would like £10 million tomorrow.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's going to happen. Brilliant answer to our first question. Second one, what feels better to you, a long, accurate drive or a pacey, long putt that sinks into the hole?
Oof, I do love my tee shots, but I will say what's more fulfilling is a long putt that goes in the hole, which probably just means you've done something. Yeah, you probably have made a birdie or maybe an eagle if you're lucky. Even if it's an incredible par, you'll always be very happy when you make a long putt.
It's that feeling, isn't it? As it drops into the hole and you look around to the crowd who they're never there with
whoever's here. No, yes.
Third question is, if you could go back to your 10-year-old self, 10-year-old Tisha, what piece of advice about golf would you give to her?
Oh, I would tell her to just be less serious. Have more fun.
Dance.
Golf can be fun, yes. Dance. Yeah. And really just, I played golf at a very young age, so I would tell her to not only enjoy the game more, but enjoy the peers that you're playing with. Because they're still in my life now.
And, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's just an incredible connection, you know. So have more fun.
I totally agree with that. From this podcast, I'm going to dance 3 times a day and be way less serious because I'm a bit miserable when I'm serious. So
me too.
Yeah, great advice. Thank you, Tisha. Finally, we ask all our guests, because our podcast is called Why Golf. Why do you work in this sport? Why do you play it? Why is it part of your life?
Well, just as you said, it's the greatest sport on the planet. But, I think as golfers, we all say this, that golf is really just the sport that correlates the best to life. You really do learn so much about yourself, about other people in this game. And it's the one sport that you can literally play as young as 3 to as your last breath you can play. And I think that that's one of the most incredible things. And it's a way to connect with other people like no other game. Business is done on the course. Relationships are made on the course. My closest friendships have been made on the course. Lifelong friends on the course. And I really, really do hope that every individual at least gets to try the game once. And if they fall in love, you can thank me later.
Oh, they will be doing. You'll be getting another 100,000 followers. Tisha, you've spoken so well, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
I totally agree with what you say. You know, all my friends are from... I'd say 80% are from the golfing world and playing golf, and you can play with any age group and different competitions and all sorts. It opens so many doors. You've been amazing. Thank you. What's the rest of your day? Because it's 10 a.m. You're on the West Coast, aren't you?
I am. Yes. Gosh, rest of the day. So I have meetings for the golf apparel company, for Allin, and then I'm preparing for the launch, which I know that when this is out, it will already have been launched, but just to quickly share. So this next launch, it's a shade of pink, as we mentioned. I'm wearing it now. But the next collection, the first collection was called the Terra Collection, short for terracotta. Terra means earth, the grounding factor. Mm. This collection is called the Circe Collection. Circe, like the goddess, and Circe is my mom's name. And her favorite color is pink. And tomorrow is her birthday. And so she doesn't know it yet. But this is her birthday gift to her. As I'm dedicating this entire collection and this colorway and all the ounce of hard work put into this collection to her. And so.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Me too. I'm so excited to share with her. You just never know what to give your mom anymore for her birthday, and you want to find all the most meaningful things. And when we figured out the color, when we knew that we wanted to go this color because it was a color of the season, it was a popular color, predicted color. And at the end, I'm like, well, what are we gonna name it? And my childhood friend was like, your mom, like Circe. The Circe Collection, and it's such a beautiful name, and there's so much history just to the name in itself, and it's a very rare name too, and I think it's actually really elegant at the same time. And like, what better way than to honor my mom, someone who, she didn't introduce me to golf, but she provided me the means to be able to do so. And this is my way of giving her the credit that she has always deserved. So.
Oh, I love that. Circe. I can't wait to see the launch of it.
And I can't wait to show you.
Can't wait to see to hear about your mum's face. You'll have to message me and let me know. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, great stuff. Tisha, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for being on Why Golf. Thank you. And good luck with everything. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all we've got time for this episode of Why Golf. If you like us, don't forget to subscribe on your favourite podcast provider. You can go to Instagram as well. It's Why Golf there. And on YouTube, Why Golf Podcast. That's all you have to search for. That's our last episode of the season. We can't wait to be back for 2026. Until then, this is Why Golf, brought to you by Skyscanner.